This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are fired up because we just realized, I don't know, just a few minutes ago that Formula One's coming to Austin in less than 30 days.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, and they're already building the city. I was out there, and they are building up all the stages, all the suites, and everything is getting in place.
All right, that's right. You were out there Friday, Mr. Kaiser.
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, this is John Massengill. I'm sitting here with Les Kaiser, and I think we have Mr. Jonathan Green on the telephone or on Skype. Mr. Green, how's it going, man?
Hello! Austin, Texas, Colorado colon.
I love to watch the producer when you come on. His arm twitches so hard to turn the volume down to keep everybody's speakers from blowing. It's
but
fantastic.
The funny thing is he's learned to anticipate it. So, you know, ace is there.
Listen, I've told Fox, I've told Star TV, I've told BT Sport, I've told Sky Sports. I'm cheap. I don't use a mic.
You don't need amplification.
No.
Oh, so Mr. Green, we have Formula One in our hometown in less than 30 days, man. How awesome is that?
You know, John, it's far more exciting than that. It's the American-owned Formula One coming to town.
Thank you for that nice segue into tonight's topics, Mr. Green, because we're going to talk a lot about Liberty Media tonight. We've been perusing the interwebs, looking for different stories, and there's brand new stories that have been come out in the last couple days. There's lots of interesting theories on what Liberty Media should and shouldn't be doing, what they should change, what they shouldn't. We're going to talk all about that. We're going to talk a little bit about the silly season in Formula One, too, because there's been some discussion about Haas F1 and maybe a little bit on the other drivers. And we had a little MotoGP action today as well with Mr. Marquez and gang.
Hey, that was a great run.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
That absolutely.
I was sitting there watching at one point, and I got up to get a drink and came back, and I was,
it was
maybe,
all different.
Maybe 15 seconds, right? And Marquez went from first to fifth, and I was like, what happened? Where was I?
I think he said the same.
So we're going to talk all about that. And the other thing that we haven't said yet, we are giving away Formula One tickets to Circuit of the Americas for the 2016 Formula One United States Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So you just got to listen to win tonight. We're going to tell you how to win those tickets here shortly.
And can I just add, it's going to be the greatest Formula One race we've had. The championship will be on the line. Taylor Swift, the biggest artist in America, if not the world, is going to be there. And so is Speed City, live.
And the advertisements for it kept saying the Formula One and the weekend. And I was like, oh, this is great. This, they're talking about the whole weekend of activities. And my teenager
said, no, the
weekend is a band. I went, oh, okay, great. Great, that's great. I've at least heard of Taylor Swift. I don't know who the weekend is, I'll have to admit. I'm outside their demographic. But yes, it's going to be a blast.
We'll school you up during the week, and you'll be ready for the weekend.
Exactly. All right, so let's jump in on the Liberty Media side. Jonathan, I'm going to throw this one at you, my friend. I hope you're prepared. If you were the new chairman of Formula One, Chase Carey, what's on the top of your to-do list? What are the top few items there?
Wow, what an opportunity. Yeah, I mean, I think he's already addressed a couple of them brilliantly, which is he's appeared immediately in Singapore. This is a media guy, and that's why I'm excited. I've been in the broadcast media for 25 years in motorsport and working for Formula One, working for networks and so on. So I'm excited to have a guy like this who has been right through every aspect and really has. I checked out his background, and though I don't know the man, I'm excited to see he was in Singapore. I'm also excited to see that the first quote out of his mouth was, "We don't want to America Formula One. We want to grow it. But I think America or the American style of business and exploitation or using everything at your disposal to grow a business, especially in the media, is right up his alley. And I think Formula One, it's been a criticism of mine and many other people involved in Formula One over the years, is that I think there could be more use of the image, the brand, the marketing, the merchandise of Formula One. They've mentioned gambling. Yeah, it could be a part two. So, you know, everything I've heard so far, and I haven't even answered your question, but that's all what he said so far really excites me, because that is the areas that we need to grow in Formula One. And I think it's ripe for that exploitation.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, somebody asked me, said, you know, I think they were joking. I hope they were. They said, does that mean they're going to make it like NASCAR? And believe it or not, I actually kind of defended. I said, you know, there's some things NASCAR does really
well.
Yeah,
there's plenty
of things
they do
media,
well.
It's on TV, you know, but you don't have to buy a premium cable system or cable channel to get Formula One or to get NASCAR. You can see it a lot of times on a free-to-air system. I think that's a big plus. I think, you know, whether you have to pay a premium to see it real-time or the same day as the race or... You know, as we see some of the other series, you see it a day or two later. I'm okay with some deviation of that.
Yeah. You know, one thing, Jonathan, I'm going to answer one of my own question that I asked you to myself, and that is, you know, because people have asked me, they said, well, is Bernie gone? Is Bernie out? And no, Bernie's not out, and I hope he's not out right now, because one of the first things I would do if I were Chase Carey is I would sit down with Bernie Ecclestone. I would say, you know, get to know him and you know, pick his brain, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, there's a lot of tribal knowledge there that, you know, we're not privy to not being in the office with him. And I think it would be really important for Chase to learn that.
Yeah. Well, and to be honest, that to me was, again, the biggest thing that I knew that I think I said on a show a couple of weeks ago that we had, the fact that Bernie is part of this deal ongoing and he's sticking around. If you remember when the news first came out, Bernie was asked whether he was stepping down. That was how the news came out, and he said, no, I'm not stepping down. And everything seems to lead to him sticking around and working with the new and by the way, they haven't, you know, bought it outright. They become a controlling or at least a very influential part, Liberty Media, that is, of what Formula One is. So let's not be fooling. Formula One isn't going to suddenly change overnight into some completely different entity. Bernie Ecclestone and everything that's in place, which has, by the way, made it so successful to date, let's not forget, and all the deals that are in place, including, you know, the relationship that COTA and all the other events and so on, plus all the relationships with the teams and the manufacturers and the rules and the FIA are all in place. There's a lot of moving parts there, and Bernie's been at the center of all of them. So that is essential to the future of Formula One, that he sticks around. Now, he is getting on a bit, but, you know, we need that guy around for Formula One to survive.
Well, to give you, folks, if you haven't heard who Liberty Media is, you may not know the names that we've mentioned, but certainly you know of the Atlanta Braves Major League Baseball Club. You know about their awesome stadium. Sirius XM, if you listen to satellite radio, it's there that is. They're major part of Time Warner, the cable mm-hmm. system and news network. Time Inc., the magazine and its entire system. There's quite a few. Viacom is another one. You know, they are heavy players, even though I will say the name is not one that, unless you're around those businesses, you probably don't know who they are.
Yeah, and a it's couple just, more, too. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, in terms of percentages, that the percentages that they have are part of those ones you've mentioned aren't high. The biggest one for me is Live Nation, and that actually has a big resonation in terms of music and potential areas in which Formula One can grow. I mean, I think it's great that Taylor Swift is here and The Weeknd are coming, but I think that kind of festival feel to an event like Formula One around the world can be absolutely grown with the addition of music, and they have a big stake. I think it's 34% in Live Nation, which, as you know, are the investors in the amphitheater at COTA. So I think there's a good combination there. It seems that just about 10 miles from where you are, boys, there's a lot of positives,
a lot of synergy. There is. Here's the other thing that I see with Liberty, like it or not, and I know somebody's going to complain about it. We have raised our children to be high maintenance and entertained all the time. This company does it on so many different levels, and certainly us adults, we like being entertained all the time. They've done it on so many levels in so many approaches or media outlets. This is, to me, fantastic. They know how to reach an audience.
Yeah, you know what, guys? Obviously, Jonathan, like you said, the people at Circuit of the Americas probably are paying very close attention to this, and vice versa. Liberty Media is going, let's see, Circuit of the Americas is the only American Formula One venue right now, and they also have one of the largest Live Nation venues, because the Circuit of the Americas 360 Amphitheater is the largest outdoor theater in Austin, and one of the largest concert venues, if not the largest. So I guarantee you there's been plenty of thought go back and forth, if not discussions. Who knows?
Multiple forms of entertainment right on that 1,200 acres.
Yeah. So obviously this is a very interesting time for us here in Austin and Formula One and the way this could interact with Circuit of the Americas. It's going to be exciting to see.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about is, this week is having things coming out. For one, accessible. Folks get exposed to it. Sunday's not always a good day to try to get a new audience because, quite honestly, it's pro sports on Sunday. It's collegiate on Saturday. Monday night, you're not going against Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
You know, and a few others. But, maybe, and that's where I was kind of going with, what if they showed F1 on Tuesday night somewhere where you'd get together with your buddies like you would on Monday night for football and get to see it?
It's always,
it's
to
something
me,
a little like later, it. A little more accessible.
I like it, but anytime it's not live, it's bothersome to me. Yeah. I don't know. But it's just impossible when you're talking about a worldwide sport. That's one of the big challenges, of course.
And it is, and I totally agree. I mean, I'd still be the one getting up at 6 o'clock this morning to watch.
But think about soccer too. Soccer's doing it.
Soccer is doing it, and it's growing. They're saying that's one of the leading competitor or the leading fan bases in the world. So it's tough.
It's growing
tough.
Here is my point.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Here, it's big time now in the United States.
Absolutely.
And guys, a nation or a continent the size of North America, I mean, we've got Mexico online now, and I remember I was interviewed about Las Vegas by NPR a few months ago, saying, was this the death knell for COTA? And I said, absolutely not. Bring on Vegas, bring on Miami, bring on, whatever. We need more Formula One races. And as
I got some ideas on that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we need more exposure for the sport in this country, and there's definitely time and room and venues to be able to do it at, and great cities in America that would welcome something that brings so much interest and financial oomph to a city. So I think that again, I was reading Adam Cooper's article about Liberty and the CEO, Greg Maffei, talking about Vegas and Miami being potential. I've got some thoughts on that. I don't agree with those two venues per se, but I don't think it does any harm to COTA, because COTA will remain the number one only FIA grade one circuit in the United States. No one's going to build one overnight.
Right.
And I welcome somebody to do so, but I still think that COTA stands high and tall over so many circuits potentially that could be on the offer, because it's such a great circuit and it's purpose built for Formula One.
All right, well, we're going to continue this discussion after the break, but I'm going to go ahead and start the process to give away Formula One tickets. We're going to do this on social media tonight. We want you to hit us up on either Facebook or Twitter. We're checking on both of those while we're on the air. Facebook is Speed City Broadcasting, and Twitter is Speedcaster. And what I want you to do is tweet at us, and I want you to tweet all the winners that have won at Circuit of the Americas in Formula One. All right, we're going to take a break. There's your homework, boys and girls, and we'll pick a winner from the people who are tweeting and posting at us on Facebook. All right, we're going to take a break live from Austin, Texas. This is your Sunday night with Speed City. Back after these messages.
I got no kick against the West Coast. Warner Brothers are such good hosts.
The racetrack, it's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Admit it. You've sat there on the couch and thought to yourself that you would be a better race car driver than that guy. Just as the Speed City guys say, it's time to get off the couch and get it in gear. Mustang 4 Challenge is here to make that happen. Get in our race cars and learn how to race. We take you from the couch to the checkered flag, whether for one race or for the entire season. See for yourself at Mustang4Challenge.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dan Easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at MotoAustin.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, I'm Mike Brewer from Wheeler Dealers on Velocity Channel, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. Live in Austin, Texas, talking Formula One. We're going to continue the Formula One discussion. We're still talking a little about the Liberty Media purchase, and we're going to talk a little bit about Haas F1, too, about the silly season.
You know, Jonathan brought up a good point. Where else? Somebody brought up Las Vegas to him.
Yeah.
So I want to continue on that thought.
Sure.
Jonathan, what did you say about Las Vegas and Formula One?
My thought was those are two Vegas and Miami were brought up, and Vegas keeps coming up, and I know that Bernie Eccleston's been looking at Vegas as a potential venue, but we're talking street races here, and much as I love street races and I think Singapore and Monaco are brilliant, I don't think there's the interest in Formula One in either Vegas or Miami yet for them to be successful, and so I I would say Watkins. I would say the northeast of America, or even potentially somewhere completely new like Seattle, holds more interest for me in terms of building an audience and building a fan base. Certainly, you've got that in New York, in Watkins Glen, and anywhere in the northeast, or even in the capital, Washington. I think the East Coast seems to me to make more sense.
I think it needs to be easily accessible to the East Coast, and I mean a short flight. I'll go with a 90-minute flight. I'll get you there. How about Detroit? It's been there. It's been the mid-80s since it was there.
Yep, yep.
It's certainly a depressed economy in the area. They still have great hotels and business convention infrastructure. Could be a cheap place to put on a really cool race. My thoughts are the city needs it. The American audience wants something. And, you know, certainly that's something that would really give a lot of exposure. And, you know, the other part I like, so F1 comes to the American Motor City. Hey, where's the Americans on the grid? Where's the Fords on the grid? Where's any other GM on grid? Maybe it'll get their attention, too.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. You know, one thing Jonathan brought it up, though, is that the interest. And we've got to generate the interest. I heard an interview with Jensen Button, and he brought up some good points. And he was talking about how one of the big things is that we need to get young people involved. Obviously, in any sport, you have to keep replenishing your audience. And so we need to get young people involved in the sport. And Formula One themselves have done an unbelievably bad job. I mean, epically bad job on social media. They didn't even get on social media until, I think, till 2014.
Oh, and so, furthermore, they went so far as to preventing some of their outlets from doing it.
Jonathan, you are a fantastic expert on this. Let's talk about what, you know, Formula One has been so closed. They, you know, anytime you, even if you were afraid to tweet a picture, that they'd come sue you.
Yeah, I mean the image of race cars in Formula One, and I mean it's. I mean, by the way, there's two camps on this. You know, if you have a brand or you own the images of a race, and I'm close to this from the broadcast point of view, which is, you know, if you are not a rights holder in Formula One, you cannot start just using the F1 logo or you know, pictures of cars and so on and so forth, which quite rightly it loses the value. If you allow everybody to use that, and then you can't charge big rights fees. So they've always gone on the rights fees with particular broadcasters. In the UK, it's Sky. You know, in Australia, it's Fox, and so on and so forth. In Asia, it's Fox too. You know, and it changes. And these are the deals. And it's also changing from free to air to cable. We've seen that transition, and now we're starting to see the proliferation of apps and digital media. And I think to my side of it, I think you're absolutely right. If we're going to keep the youth involved and we're going to get new people involved, we have to exploit that side of digital media. And again, Liberty have already said that that is a key area that they want to grow. So digital media, social media, use of the internet to grow the brand and to get the image of the brand out there, not close it down whereby you can't use that. So I think there should be not a free-for-all by any means, because you've got to be careful on how you use your brand. But I think, you know, when I look at some of how the NFL works and how the NBA works, I think that there's much more need for image to be out there so that people can grab to it and people want heroes. I mean, you know, it's no point in, you know, getting a hit song. I mean, look at franchises and branding like the Voice and so on and so forth. They're getting young artists that nobody's heard of and making them into stars and putting them out on iTunes immediately. That's what Formula One needs to do to connect to its audience.
Yeah, and I want to go back to the technology side, because it's not just, because that was the other point that Jensen Button made. He said, you know, young people love technology in whatever way they, you know, it may just be that they love their devices, but I think that part of it, they probably like technology as well. And Formula One is jam-packed with technology, and sometimes that can be somewhat inaccessible, but it is jam-packed, and there's lots of information out there. And I think maybe Formula One needs to do a little more presentation of that technology and show it off a little bit.
Well, you know, I totally agree there. And what better way of giving that? You know, remember last year Lewis Hamilton got his hand slapped for Snapchat posts that he was putting out?
Right.
From inside the paddock. He wasn't even showing any technology. It was just him chatting in a quick little, you know, view of the paddock. And they came down on him because he did not own broadcast rights.
I didn't remember the exact rules they said broke. But
yeah, and I just felt like that was overdoing it. This is a guy, you know, Lewis Hamilton, I think, has the best handle on how to reach the young audience.
Yeah, he's a young guy himself. But that's a perfect example, Les. Let's say that you are F1 and you want to talk about the technology. But so you go and you take a Snapchat of the, or Instagram or Twitter, a photograph of the Mercedes turbo that's a public image that they're not going to freak out about. In other words, approve it with Mercedes, approve it with everybody, and say this is an approved image. It may be a bit of a pain to go through all that, but share that information, share that technology, and get some people excited about it.
Well, you know, we've seen some of the racing bodies that will offer images to the media world that they can collect and use, and you'll always see it, you know, F1 logo in the bottom right, or the MotoGP logo in the bottom right, or even World Superbikes, they do the same. And so I'm fine with that. I think we just want a little more eye candy of technology, seeing the cool, you know, split apart turbos. I want to see that. I want to see, okay, I understand the, you know, ERS and things like that are electronic, but I really want to see what it is.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's just a couple of capacitor-looking things. I want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it. I may not understand it fully, but... And also, I do want to know more about the technology, too, because, you know, as we've seen over the years, like, for example, the brake feel. Remember how that was such a big deal to manage the regeneration of power through the brakes and how to get that feel back so the drivers weren't freaking out going, this doesn't feel right. That took a long time. And I know you got some stuff on this, Jonathan. What about you?
Yeah, I want to kind of talk to the technology. To me, it's the apparatus in which we promote Formula One that concerns me. And the example I want to give is, you know, look at the last two major films, Ron Howard's film Rush and the documentary on Senna. Those are two really standout pieces of work about Formula One. But they were promoted in a movie way. They were promoted in a Hollywood way. And what I mean by that is in America, they went on the talk shows, they did the rounds, they went to the film festivals, and they went to the... Now, that's a film. Now, I think Formula One needs to be promoted, and its technology included in that, that way too. They need to be on Jimmy Fallon and Jay Leno and Corden and everybody else. And I think we've got some fantastic. You mentioned Hamilton. He's so marketable. He was on 60 Minutes a few weeks ago, but we need more of that. And I think to get into the American psyche and into the world psyche, you need to see more YouTube, more, we need to use the avenues that are the current avenues. And cable TV and NBC do a great job, but not that many people are buying into that right now. You need a wider spectrum to get right under the skin and get people to feel that it's part of something that they need to be seeing at the weekend.
You know, there's some other technologies that I think they can capitalize on. I saw a demonstration of virtual reality in like a baseball stadium. Imagine wearing that hood at home and it projects the image as if you are in that stadium and you're sitting there in the bleachers watching it. Imagine that from a racing aspect.
There's so much like this that they could take advantage of. Jonathan, I just looked. You have any followers the official Formula One YouTube channel has?
Tell me.
230,000. Not 230 million like you might expect. I mean, there's kids that generate videos in their bedroom that have more followers than 230,000. That's
yeah. Not talking bedroom video.
Sorry. But that's just...
People have seen the Stevie Wonder, James Corden karaoke couple.
Yeah, 105 exactly.
Million. Yeah, I mean, 230,000 is just... I mean, it's...
Are you saying carpool with Bernie?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Cowboys are playing tonight, the Dallas Cowboys, right? One team... although it's America's team. But, you know, they are one of the biggest franchises in sport. But just that one team out of the 30-plus teams in the NFL generates more interest, more apps, more social media, more whatever, around the world, not just in Texas, around the world. And, I mean, there is a perfect benchmark where you can start by saying, right, we need to create interest like this.
Yeah, it's astounding how poorly they've done. And obviously, that is the number one thing. When everybody said Liberty Media is purchasing a controlling stake in Formula One, that's what they said. They're going to bring some marketing and some exposure to here in the United States. That's what we said. But also, let's don't forget, guys, that the Liberty Media is not going to screw up what's happened, what Bernie's done right, what has been done well around the world. So obviously, we know they're going to do all those things.
And it's a delicate balance. You don't, like you said, they don't want to Americanize it. It could switch off a lot of other people if you completely change the game. Formula One has its interest and its following in the States because of its nuance, because of its intellect in terms of how its strategy works and so on and so forth. Dumbing it down, making it easier, making it more accessible completely across the board may not be the answer either. It's got to be done. And the history and so on and so forth, you know, places like Spa where you were couple of weeks ago, Les, you know, those are integral, Monaco and so on. Those are massively important. And actually, there's a huge audience for that sort of nostalgia that goes with the history, plus the venue, and the fact that it is global and that you want to see what Singapore looks like and Malaysia next week and so on and so forth.
Well, we got to take a break, but there's been some, before we go, people interacting. They're also, everybody's entering the contest to win the tickets. That's great on social media, but there's some great interactions. Kevin Kelly said F1 needs to look at the WEC app. He said they've got full replays. Yeah. Full replays. That's fantastic. And I know that's a little tricky, but yeah, go ahead.
Kevin Kelly is spot on. Because of what we were doing ourselves, I've spent a lot of time on that website, and I think it's second to none in motorsport terms. I think that WEC have hit it right on the nail.
Yep. Another one, Andy P. says, Will Buxton periscoped at IndyCar at Bell Island, and it was great, and said he couldn't dream of doing that in an F1 track. It's a great observation.
That's true.
It's just what I was saying earlier. I mean, we're in the media, we're in the paddock going, can we tweet? Can we post on Facebook? Can we, you know what?
It's what are we allowed to do?
You know, we're afraid we're literally getting drug out by the scruff of our neck.
I do like the idea that NASCAR has, ride along with your favorite driver.
Yeah. I like that.
Imagine that, or even the 360 cameras that are out now.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
We're late for the break. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion, talk a little MotoGP, talk a little Haas F1. You're listening to Speed City, live from Austin, Texas, back after these short messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Danese leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at MotoAustin.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Want to drive your car at speed on Circuit of the Americas? Edge Addicts is your source for more COTA events and more COTA track time. Whether you're looking to host your own event or just be a part of the action, Edge Addicts can get you in the driver's seat and racing like a pro. All levels of drivers and all types of cars are welcome, with instructors available for first-time and novice drivers. Life is short and adventure is around every corner, so plan your high-adrenaline experience with Edge Addicts at edgeaddicts.com. Edge Addicts, it's better when you're driving.
You've made the right choice.
Hey, it's Patrick Lindsay driving Park Place Motorsports Porsche, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. We're going to continue our F1 discussion. And before we go on with any other Liberty Media discussions or whatever, I want to talk about the event here in Austin. I mean, look, we're less than 30 days out. And I have noticed that I always like to peruse the ticket page and see. And tickets are way harder to get this year than at this time. We were a month out last year. And they are much harder to
Taylor
get.
Taylor Swift's only show this year is here.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, that has a lot
I'm
to do
okay
with it.
I'm okay with that, but a lot of people are truly excited.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee that's a big part of it.
Okay, now that's another marketing coup. We talked about Liberty reaching a younger audience. There's a whole audience that's going to come to this that, you know, have never experienced Formula One. And I think they're going to get to see a little bit of the excitement. What I hope happens is they get there in the afternoon, you know, spend some time around the environment, catch on to it, get excited, and certainly go see Taylor. And then I want to see him come back Sunday and really get excited for the race.
Yep. And let's talk about some of the tickets. I mean, look, you can go, the best deal is a three-day general admission from a dollar standpoint, $165. And, of course, they've got the bleacher seating start at $275 for a three-day pass. And everything includes the Taylor Swift concert, of course. And then you go up from there. So, I mean, you can get Friday-only tickets, Saturday-only premium tickets, and Sunday-only tickets. But again, everything includes the concert and also the Taylor Swift concert, but also the weekend
That's
concert.
Right. That, but, you know, transportation is something they've definitely worked on, even more so since last year. 12,000 upgraded parking spots, so improve those matters. You know, we know about the mud bog situation. They've also worked heavily on the downtown shuttles, changing frequency, all the above capacities. To this point, wait longer than 55 minutes and you receive a refund.
Yeah, that's cool.
How cool is that? New road, direct access from 71. So from Highway 71, it's the highway that's just north of the property, a few minutes. That's going to, you know, help divide up all of that converging traffic and population coming.
And I know what was, I'll look this up, or one of us needs to look it up, but when it was announced this year, you know, this is the fifth one at COTA. So this is a pretty cool little landmark or milestone that we've reached here. But one thing that was such a disaster last year was the epic rain that we had. It was just unbelievable amount of rain. Is that there's a guarantee of some sort that if it does X amount of rain, you get a refund on your ticket, which really kind of unheard of.
Yeah, it's a percentage. It's 100%. Plus some extra as a refund. And so that is
right.
Absolutely going to, you know, they're really making solid efforts to resolve things, deal with the risk of weather. You know, all those things are really playing out. You're going to be able to go from, you know, downtown or even the Burger Center, the Tony Burger Center, the big football complex, Southwest Austin. Those are shuttle locations too. So,
yeah.
You've got a variety of places now, and just want everybody to realize you are not stuck with driving out there yourself. You can let somebody else drive and deal with it. Kick back, relax, lead some cheers, whatever.
So, hey, I want to shift gears a little bit, and we promised a couple of stories tonight on social media that we'd talk about, and there was a story in motorsport.com. I think he actually even sent me this one, Jonathan. One of those about how Liberty Media was even talking about the possibility of gambling as a way to increase revenues. And that article had several facets to it, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it is an area that could be looked at, and I think should be looked at. I think it's, you know, and, you know, look at the success of fantasy football and soccer in terms of people, getting out there and getting involved and getting interactive with it.
That's a really good point.
Whether Formula One, you know, does it in hardcore gambling, I don't know. And you know, there's always, I mean, look at the troubles that soccer has got into with abuse of that. And so, you know, it's a fine line. But I mean, you know, let's be honest, it's an area. You mentioned Vegas. Well, if there were gambling involved and you had a race in Vegas, it becomes a bit like boxing in that the interest is there because people are vested, because people say, well, I'm going to pick this guy. guy to win, you're going to pick the other guy to win. And I mean, you know, whether we like it or not, Formula One is a bit of a boxing match between two guys at the moment. And so therefore it would work, because most of the bets would be between Rosberg and Hamilton. And you know, an outside bet would be a Roman Grosjean to win. So, you know, I can see the parallels. It's just got to be managed well. And I can certainly see the fantasy league side of it, forming your own team, getting your own drivers, getting your own, spending money, you know, in a fantasy way to get the better budget, and take gambles, you know, in the rain in Japan, because I'm going for glory, you know, type thing. I can see that getting, and then you just add the gaming aspect to it, which already exists around the world with people taking each other on, in simulated race games, then you're really onto something.
You know, that you talk about the, I think I agree with all that. I want to be careful with any sort of gambling. The back of my neck just prickles up a little bit when I think about gambling, and because I don't want the sport to be known for that or something. But look, let's face it, fantasy football. I don't watch
it's an
football.
Industry of itself.
It is. It's huge now. I don't play it. I have in the past, but I don't really play it. And I know people don't watch sports the same way. And when I watch an NFL style show that's geared to fantasy, it's a completely different broadcast, and it just feels, I don't know, it feels weird, like you're not really a fan of a team anymore. It's just your team. I it's fine. I don't really have any problem with that, but I definitely want to be careful with any other gambling aspect of it.
I'll tell you what one aspect, which I think, like I said, I mentioned it briefly, but the gaming side, I've heard several stories of actual drivers getting involved on online gaming and racing under pseudonyms in competitions.
Really?
Where money, yeah, oh, absolutely. Where money is won, and they've donated that money back to either a charity or whatever, but then come clean and said, yeah, that was me. Now, the actual race drivers are brilliant at simulation, because that is now 30% of a driver's time is spent doing simulation work, and was a major part of coming to the Circuit of the Americas for the first time. And we know that so the likes of Brendan Hartley were involved for Mercedes on that side of things back in the day. And that continues to grow, and I think that crossover between the millions of gamers that are out there doing this day in, day out, the shoot 'em up games, sure, those are big, but so too are the race simulations. And I've been exposed to that more recently in the last year while I was in New Zealand, and have just come away with a completely different view of it, because it's real, it involves millions of people, and it also involves the actual drivers who get to do it for real. And then there's the Jan Mardenbergs who get to win and do it for real.
You know, that's one thing. Let's pat motorsports on the back about this. That's one thing they've done fantastically well.
Yeah.
Because you just mentioned Jan Mardenbergs is a great example of, he was entered the Nissan GT Academy that teamed up with Sony PlayStation, and where started with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of guys and gals competing online.
90,000.
Yeah, and then pared it down to the last dozen or so, and then the winner gets a seat in a race car. I mean, what better way to engage a young audience? That's something they've done well, and maybe that's a big part of the answer, because Formula One hasn't done that particular thing. Because what series did Mardenborough go straight from gaming into, Jonathan? Do you remember?
He went to the Toyota Racing Series Toyota Racing Series was his first series. And it was weird, because obviously he was a Nissan guy, and he had to be careful with what he wore, because it was a Toyota series. But they were there, and he then went in, and following that, he went into Formula 3. So that's the biggest single-seater series in the world. And within 2 years was on the grid for Le Mans and winning in LMP2.
Yeah, you talk about a fantastic way to engage young people is to say, okay, you not only you get to play a game, which they obviously love to do, but if you get good enough, you actually get to drive the real car. So that's a fantastic way.
And by the way, this was a poor kid from a very simple background with no family ties in racing or money behind him. If Hamilton was the dream job of get, you know, pushing through karting and all the rest of it. Jan Mardenborough, who had a similar story, kind of playing games in his bedroom with no money behind him, is the actual epitome of the future of how I can see more and more kids getting involved in this sport and making it therefore relevant in their lives.
Yep, I think it's a great idea. Hey, I want to go to another Formula One story. Apple and McLaren. This has been very interesting and very relevant to us here in Austin. I think Apple is maybe second largest employer in Austin. They have a huge presence here in Austin. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's a lot of truth to this story. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if some of those discussions go on here in Austin in about 3.5 weeks. But what's your take, Jonathan?
Well, some say the Apple drives are faster than McLaren. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just going to let him drown in that.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll sink with that one, boys. I think, here's what I've read, and I've tried to read up on this. Everybody is saying, well, the story came out and everybody denied it. And if I've learned one thing about McLaren, that they're good at denying any stories that come into the media, and they tend not to do a lot of exposure in the media or leaking stories through the media. So McLaren are pretty watertight. And as we know, Apple have their own way of doing things, and they too are pretty watertight about their business deals until they come out. But as every journalist worth his salt this week has said, there is no smoke without fire. And there is an obvious connection with motorsport and technology now, and Apple and McLaren makes total sense. Dell and any other form of motorsport makes total sense. Intel, any of these technology companies should be involved in high technology sport. So the interaction, and Austin again is right at the center of this, or should be, any interaction between a high end technological sport like WEC or Formula One or MotoGP is obvious to me and will become more and more obvious as more and more data is gathered, not just on the cars, but on the drivers and on the technology that drives it. And I think that is going to be the new paradigm for actually succeeding in these sports, is being able to crunch those numbers and be successful by being quicker at doing it than anybody else.
Yep, and I think you're right. I think Apple, Dell's a natural. They've been involved in Formula One for years, and car. I mean, the whole automotive industry now. How much about a new car is technology? It's a huge, huge part of every car. I mean, and the future, if we're talking autonomous cars, I mean, it then becomes mostly technology and just have some sort of powertrain to get you down the road. So obviously this is going to be fun to watch. But all right, guys, we're going to take a break, and we're still taking contest entries. So the way to win the Formula One tickets is to either tweet at us or post on Facebook. And we're looking for the winners of each of the races at Austin in Formula One starting in 2012. Back after a short break.
Maybe someday I'll be strong.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Admit it. You've sat there on the couch and thought to yourself that you would be a better race car driver than that guy. Just as the Speed City guys say, it's time to get off the couch and get it in gear. Mustang 4 Challenge is here to make that happen. Get in our race cars and learn how to race. We take you from the couch to the checkered flag, whether for one race or for the entire season. See for yourself at Mustang4Challenge.com.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born. Where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles, whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey. Because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Want to drive your car at speed on Circuit of the Americas? Edge Addicts is your source for more COTA events and more COTA track time. Whether you're looking to host your own event or just be a part of the action, Edge Addicts can get you in the driver's seat and racing like a pro. All levels of drivers and all types of cars are welcome, with instructors available for first-time and novice drivers. Life is short, and adventure is around every corner. So plan your high-adrenaline experience with Edge Addicts at edgeaddicts.com. Edge Addicts, it's better when you're driving.
On air, online, and on your smart device. Talk 1370 is the right choice.
Hi, this is Ryan DL, and this is Speed City.
Mr. DL was here in Austin not too long ago.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the WEC, the rest of the season. Man, Jonathan, was that a blast or what?
I loved it. And, you know, I mean, perfect timing, Porsche doing a brilliant job, Audi coming so close, championship. Not wide open, but still very much open. They head off to the Far East now, and it all rounds out in Bahrain. And yeah, and more importantly for us, they're coming back. There was a sort of a doubt, but it seems that, again, the Circuit of the Americas, 14th to the 16th of September next year, it's on the calendar, and that's great news.
Yep. All right, let's go to some two-wheel action. We had MotoGP today. Like I said earlier, I was watching Marquez at the beginning of the race. I was only like three laps in, and he was jumped right to the front, and I left the room for, I swear, it was no more than 30 seconds. I came back, and he was in fifth place. What happened there?
Momentary lapse of attention, quite honestly. That was all it was, and every, you know, a four-car freight train blew by him. And
wait, he must have done something wrong.
Yeah, he missed a turn.
Oh, okay.
And, no, he didn't miss the turn. He lost the front.
Yeah, the front almost went down. And so he went, he recovered, went way wide on it, and everybody zipped by him, and he jumped back in on the back of that run.
What I find significant about that, Les and John, I think, is that the difference now between the Marquez of 3 years ago and the Marquez of today, you know, he admitted in the interview afterwards that, you know, that was a big moment, and so he just, you know, waited for the hard front tire to come in sensibly, and then started pushing and attacking, and that's why he won. And I think that's a different Marquez than a few years ago.
Yeah, we've been talking about this. He is maturing, and a mature Marquez is a scary competitor for sure. Well, you know, now, Jonathan, I want to play this this clip from this interview, because, and this is the reason that Mr. Green is not in Austin, Texas, because he visited the gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen up at the American Super Camp. That's a pretty cool deal. Tell us about that.
Well, it's brilliant. I mean, it's one of the oldest schools or camps for motorcycle races in America. And Danny Walker is at the forefront of it. And Danny, I see at Moto America, and he's been the reason behind the success of Jake Gagne in Superstock over the last couple of years, and super guy. But he's been instrumental in teaching youngsters, particularly in riding motorcycles. I mean, Danny Eslick, for his 11th birthday, got a chance to go to Super Camp, and now look at him, a double, you know, Daytona winner and a superstar. Josh Hayes, JD Beach. I mean, they've all started there. And there I was yesterday. John Knowles from the KTM Cup was there. There was a 14-year-old young lady and an 11-year-old flat-tracking young girl out there trying to be the next stars. So it's just so cool to be somewhere where you're seeing the future of these kids, you know, in the making.
And it's just outside Denver, Fort Collins, right?
Yep, just in Fort Collins, just off I-25. Danny Walker and his team, his partner Chris Carr, who's also had many, many accolades. They're former, you know, motocrossers and dirt trackers. And they teach like very much like the boot camp that we're all very familiar with in Texas with Colin. And in fact, you know, very similar. Colin uses the same principles that Danny set up a long time ago in terms of teaching people on little 125 Yamahas the basics of balance and braking and turning, and also not panicking when the situation changes on a motorcycle.
You know what? Let's play this clip, because he talks about that specifically, and I love it, because this is a really interesting camp to go learn. If you're going to ride a superbike on the street or any other bike on the street, it's a great camp. So let's hear from Danny Walker, the American Super Camp.
So I wanted to do a school that everybody could learn what we were doing. The biggest impact we have with our school is for your average street rider. Do we teach? Yes, I can name drop all of the top road race guys, and I was just telling you all the dirt trackers earlier. But the biggest impact we have is your average street rider, because your average street rider doesn't ever get themselves into that panic threshold breaking scenario unless it starts with a story. You know, it's got to start with some kind of a story, and it's usually spectacular. We can make those street riders get in that threshold, panic threshold scenario over and over and over and over again, you know, 100 times in a day, you know, and it helps them retrain those panic, those threshold breaking reflexes, because 9 times out of 10, your average street rider, the initial reflexes when something exciting happens, they get into a corner too deep or something, a deer jumps out or a car jumps out, 9 times out of 10, those reflexes are the wrong ones. And it compounds that problem. And we're able to put them in that scenario here over and over and over. There's not really a school that has fundamental basics like there is for baseball and football and hockey and basketball. There's all those camps that all they teach is fundamentals, right? Fundamental basics. That's what Super Camp is.
Awesome. I love this. I love this idea. Because, like you said, he's going to put you in that emergency situation that you almost can't get into on the street without fearing for your life. That's, and he does it for hundreds of times, or at least dozens of times anyway.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know, and having gone through that type of class, I do leave there feeling a lot more confident on the street. Whether I'm on a sport bike or anything else, I feel so much better, and I have a better idea of what's happening.
So, Jonathan, did you? How much time did you get on track?
I have a couple of hours.
Nice.
You know, I'm still in one piece. You know, and I do it, you know, I must admit, you know, I've learned so much just in doing any of these schools, but I have no, you know, but a lot of these guys are going to learn, you know, how to ride fast and how to react fast, you know. But I still think that you learn poise and balance and just trusting your body to move on the bike and find the center of gravity and stuff like that. It just gives you a confidence, and it doesn't matter how old you are and what your intention is. If you can take, as he says, a car can jump out, a deer, anything else. If you can take control and feel composed about what you're doing in an emergency situation, and I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in a car or a bike, then you're going to be a better driver or a better rider. And so, you know, I really do, it doesn't matter who you are, we're all involved in transport. And if we can be better at using it, people on the roads in Austin, you know, let's do it.
Yeah, people on the roads of Austin. But you know what? It's a way to get more fun out of what you're driving, for sure. You know, if you can...
Absolutely.
If you can have the confidence to ride it a little harder than you would if you weren't, then if you hadn't done that, it's great. I love it. So
plus you're in the dirt on a motorbike at the weekend. What more can you want?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one of the other things that we talked that we didn't say about MotoGP, Nikki Hayden was back on the track.
I know.
Standing in.
Yeah, let's play this clip from Nikki Hayden, because it was basically he was just filling in for the weekend. But let's hear from Nikki Hayden.
I'm excited. I like the opportunity, like challenges. I would obviously be more excited if I could go do a couple of days on the bike, you know, learn the team, learn the tires and all that, but that's not the situation, but that's not what I signed up for. I know what I'm getting into, and people's eyes, well, you sure it's a good career move? And I told the guy, this is not a MotoGP return for me. This isn't a tryout. I'm not 22. I'm 35. My home's in Superbike. My goals are in Superbike. It's just a chance to go, do a motorcycle race. So, hopefully, maybe.
That's pretty cool, huh, Jonathan?
Yeah, and also it's pretty cool that he is clear now of his intention to stay with Superbike. I'm glad. I mean, I'm delighted for him to get a chance. He got a point, you know, riding for Jack Miller. But I'm glad that he's turned his back now on MotoGP, because there just isn't the rides that will allow him to win that world title again as he did in 2006. But I think he can with Honda, with World Superbikes. And I think we're in the last few years we've got with Nicky at the top of his game. We've got a chance for an American star to do what Colin Edwards did and maybe win a couple of World Superbike titles.
That'd be awesome. All right, we're going to wrap it up, guys. I'm going to announce our winner. Andy P. Thank you for listening. If you're listening right now, that means you listened to the whole show, because I know you were tweeting about all sorts of stuff. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. But stick with us, because we're going to give away more tickets between now and when it comes to Austin. So,
and we'll be in touch, Andy.
Yeah, we'll be in touch, Andy. Or email us at info@speedcitybroadcast.com. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.